We argue about Star Wars next here on The Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers on Mercado Airwaves. Good Brother, welcome into a very special edition of The Good Brothers. We are bringing a little bit of The Quarantine Files and Good Brothers proper to this, the first list. We haven't come up with an official name, but we'll just continue to call it The Quarantine Files until corporate overlords rebrand us and make us more family friendly.
Exactly. We'll figure that out. We're still figuring out the style, but we definitely want to continue these conversations because the audience loves it. We love to do it, and we get to talk specifics about certain things that we usually don't get to.
And for all our wrestling fans who will know this analogy, we are finally cashing in this briefcase. We've been hyping it up. We've been teasing it for a while. We are finally going to rank our Star Wars films. So normally on The Quarantine Files, we do 5 films about a certain subject, genre, something a little bit more deeper.
We've done blockbusters. We've done anime. We've done superhero films. We've done so many at this point.
So this one, we're doing all 11 live action Star Wars films. They don't have to be part of the saga. They have to be live action in the theater films.
Yep.
So we're not going to be talking about Mandalorian, The Clone Wars, Rebels, none of that.
Yep.
So you want to get this started? What we'll do is we'll go back and forth. We'll say the number and the movie. If we both agree, we'll talk about why it's at that number. And when we get to a different one, a little jibber jabber, and we'll recap it at the very end.
Yeah, we'll keep it nice and loose. Like, let's start with this. Do we both agree Clone Wars is the worst of the live action?
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones?
Yes.
So we're agreeing. That is our 11, so now we're down to 10.
And that's a great example. Even though Clone Wars, the movie, was in the theaters, and it is on Netflix and all that, we are not considering that movie. Attack of the Clones is, because it's an actual live action film.
It's in the theater, it has clone in the title, it is the bottom two. Regardless. We are going to safely say that. The only thing worth anything that has clones in it is the animated series.
Absolutely. So with that in mind, at number 11, we have Attack of the Clones. At number 10?
I have The Phantom Menace.
I have The Phantom Menace as well. Now this one, it's a little interesting. Why have a number 10 compared to what I have in number 9? I think as a film, The Phantom Menace is a very weak movie. Obviously, with Darth Maul, amazing. The pod races, amazing. Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, amazing. We have Qui-Gon, obviously played by Liam Neeson, amazing. There's so many great moments in The Phantom Menace. And obviously the hype of this movie coming out with such a long period in between Star Wars films. But it's not a good movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we said it on The Good Brothers. For me, my lowest graded Star Wars movie is a B. Like,
this is my C.
This is my B. And so if this is the lowest, I'm a fanatic and I love all the movies. So this is really pulling my nails here of okay, well, what's your least favorite of those movies? And I would say this would have to be it. I do love, like you said, a lot of aspects of it. But overall, I think it's the weakest of them all.
Now, at number 9, I have, which, if we were ranking it, this is the C-plus portion of my list. At number 9, I have Solo.
I have the other non-chronological movie. I have Rogue One at my number 9.
And we're going to argue about that because Rogue One is really high on my list.
And Solo's high on my list.
So, my problem with Solo is it's just a generic action film. It's actually a good movie. It's actually an entertaining movie. It probably deserved a little bit better. Had it been called anything else with a catchy title, it would have made a lot of money. It would have become a franchise. People would love it. The fact that it's just Han Solo in today's day and age, and everything that, all the momentum that was kind of lackluster in the Star Wars universe up to that point already, it never really struck with, I think, the community. And it's no real shame to the movie because all things that Ron Howard had to do at the very end with all the craziness that happened with the original directors, to me, it was a flawed movie. It was a fun time. Kind of the more forgettable version of Star Wars, but at least they went for something.
Rogue One, my issue with it, it's very hollow. I think knowing where you're going to end, I don't think it does a great job even giving you little hints. I think the best characters in it are getting a spinoff, which is where I'd rather see them. And I just think there's not a lot of substance there. It's a lot of just on the surface good things, but then when you dig deep, there's a lot wrong with it. It's a B. It's a passing grade for me. I really enjoy it. But as a Star Wars film, it was one of the ones I was least entertained with, beside the last 5 minutes.
At number 8, I have Rise of Skywalker, the newest of the Star Wars films. What do you have?
Revenge of the Sith.
Okay, so the reason I have Rise of Skywalker here, and honestly, it probably even is way lower film than Solo. I think what makes it strong is some of the stuff they did with the Force. I thought that was pretty cool. I think at the end of it, the Knights of Ren ended up being really disappointing. I think the Emperor stuff was really kind of lame. I think the way that they manage time in the movie when it comes to story is really weird. And I don't like what they did with Finn at the end of it. And they tried doing such a pendulum swing because of what happened in The Last Jedi that it was so noticeable. I love the cast, though. So I think maybe that's a big reason why I enjoyed it more than Solo, is the cast is so much more, has so much more gravity towards them. But yeah, I have Rise of Skywalker at number 8.
So now we're entering my portion of the B-plus part, which is what I really enjoyed except for these parts. So Revenge of the Sith, for me, I really enjoy it. It's my favorite of the prequels. My biggest issue, it runs a little long in the early middle portion. I do enjoy when we finally get to the adventures of Obi-Wan and the turn of Anakin. I like the ending and I like the beginning scene. I think they do a really good job hyping it up. So that's why it falls there for me, at least.
At number 7, I have The Last Jedi.
I have Rise of Skywalker. And I agree with a lot of your points. I love the cast. I love the chemistry. Again, a little long, a little unnecessary at parts. I love the ending. The ending brings a tear to my eye when they get all the backup. And Oscar Isaac, like, he's one of my favorites. So him selling that scene of, like, man, we're not getting any help, like, it's done, to finally just see all these ships, it was like your Avengers moment, and it hit me like that. So I really, really, that for me does it. I like the decisions they make with Rey. I don't love the decisions they make with Kylo, because I was a big Kylo fan.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why it really went lower, because there were parts of that movie I'm like, it's possible top 5. But there's a lot of the negative that really drops it down for me.
The reason I have The Last Jedi at number 7...
You're crazy.
...is they took a lot of chances. I like that. We're getting to the point now where there is a big drop-off of what a Star Wars film is, what my critique level is, my love for the next 6 movies are going to be. And that's a big thing, you know? And The Last Jedi, I just think that it missed on some beats, but I appreciate it. And as time keeps moving on, it was different, and it did spice up the Star Wars bloodline a little bit, and people were so scared of change, and corporate was so worried about a minority of voices that it completely ruined it. Now, do I think they lean so much nostalgia that them doing such a hardcore turn in the second part of this trilogy hurt it? In retrospectively speaking, yeah. Does it hurt that you went from JJ then to
Rian Johnson,
JJ again? I mean, it was crazy. It was destined for failure because you could tell that they just didn't believe in it. So I love The Last Jedi, though, but I have it at number 7 because there is a big drop-off over the next films, in my opinion. Now, at number 6 is the only prequel I like. And that is Revenge of the Sith.
It's the best one of them.
It's the one I have the most fond nostalgic memories when it comes to Star Wars. This was my, as a teenager, going to the theater and watch it, that spectacle with kids that watched Empire and that watched...
When you had to actually get seats, people, yes, back then. We didn't sit together. We had to sit separate.
And I love that movie. It makes me think of our mother. It makes me think of all the times we all watched those VHS tapes. We watched all the times Fox because they still owned it.
Yep.
But it just reminded me of nostalgia. And I love that movie. It's the only time Hayden Christensen really, to me, played Anakin. Yep. He got it.
Yeah.
It was his role. He finally understood it. Natalie Portman's a treasure. Ewan McGregor is amazing. I think that movie just...
Samuel Jackson, the first time we see Yoda be Yoda.
The best of the Emperor, like a real Emperor. No, there's a taste of it.
That last 45 minutes is some of the best Star Wars, I think, in the entire Star Wars franchise. But it's a 2.5-hour movie is the problem. But that 45 minutes from the turn of Anakin to the Jedi, the Order and everything... That is some of the best Star Wars in the entire franchise, I think.
Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace are like cartoons.
Yeah.
And when
we loved as kids.
As kids. But when you talk about Order 66.
Yeah.
And what that was in Revenge of the Sith, that felt like a real stakes movie compared like the original trilogy.
We start with he kills a Sith Lord to start the movie.
Yes.
That's how we start the film.
What do you have at number 6?
So to close off our bottom tier of the list, I have New Hope. And I know that...
See, I actually think Revenge of the Sith at number, for me, is actually the beginning of my higher tier.
Okay, I was going to go top 5, but yeah. So let's go top 6. I love New Hope. We're getting into A's now. All these films to me are A's or A pluses. The reason I put New Hope there at 6, it doesn't crack top 5 for me, I don't think it ages well. I think there is something to say of the way it looks. I think a lot of it is set up for the next two much better films, much more fun films, much better paced films. But you can't deny the setup is amazing. But I just think as a movie itself, I like what it's set up better than actually watching it.
It's funny because A New Hope is a super high seat on my list. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I think that's a great way to do it. We do have our top five, and our number six were basically the runner-ups, the teams that were on the bubble.
Honorable mention, if you will, for our normal list.
So really good ones. But I'll start off at number five, The Force Awakens. I think this movie is the only one that understood if they were going to try to go hardcore nostalgia, what that was. I think The Last Jedi is a good Star Wars movie if they were just going to try something new and to move forward. I think The Force Awakens delivered in what it promised, and that was all the member berries. And I like that. And I like what they set up moving forward for that universe. Whether it panned out is a different thing, but I adored The Force Awakens. It's the only one in that entire new trilogy where the new cast had the best chemistry with each other.
I have Force Awakens also at number five because everything you said, I agree. I think, to me, reason I have it over New Hope is because it took what New Hope was supposed to do and it made it look better. So it set up the trilogy it needed to. Obviously, we'll get to whether you feel it did its job or not. I think it did. I think it looked better. I think it introduced minority characters we hadn't seen in Star Wars, which is representation matters. We're never going to say it doesn't. You're listening to the wrong show if you don't think it matters, people. It does. Seeing a Hispanic, African-American, and a female up there was important. I thought they added great new characters. I thought it took the best parts. It was the best member berries you could have gotten, I think. And all it needed to do was make it look prettier, and it did look. It looked fantastic. The trailer is one of the best trailers in the history of trailers. We get back, Chewie, we're home. Like, come on. Like, I love that movie, and that is why I agree with you. It is my number five.
At number four, it's the only modern-day Star Wars movie, in my opinion, that tried something new, that also understood the world it lived in, had great member berries in it, and had great acting in it that led to world-building, and that is Rogue One. Has amazing fighting scenes, has amazing bank heist feel to it, the gunslinger kind of feel to it. And obviously, it sounded, it felt, it looked like Star Wars for the first time in a long time. And I that ending, to me, one of the greatest endings in cinema is that final 30 seconds of Rogue One. And to me, that doesn't make it a great movie. That was the cherry on top of what was a very strong Star Wars movie, in my opinion.
You know how I really went over how I feel? It's funny, because my number four is Solo. So I think we basically took the side movies and switch them. You had Solo really low. I had Rogue One really low. It's hard for me to explain. Solo hit me at a right time, at a right moment. I love that character of Han Solo. I love the cheesiness of it. That's, to me, Star Wars has a bit of cheesiness. That's what makes it fun. So I love that. We're talking about a series with a walking bear that we all adore. That's the most Chewbacca we've gotten. I love the Dragon Queen herself. I love the side mission. Lando, we get Donald Glover as Lando. We get the Millennium Falcon. I love the scene where we finally get Chewie and Han flying together. It's one of the most heartwarming scenes you can get. Like, this is what he was meant to do. I love that movie. I've seen it more than I've seen a lot of these movies. It's one of my favorite Star Wars experiences. I love the heist in the beginning with, you know, Woody Harrelson and John Favreau's alien character. I just love everything about it. I love, it does cheesiness to me in a good way. Where I don't get where Rogue One is it just felt more hollow. But again, we pretty much have the same opinion, just switch the order of where we put these movies.
Yeah, I had so much fun leaving Rogue One, so that's why I have it so high on my list. Now we get to the top three, and you've been paying attention, you know my top three. You already know where we're at. It's in a certain order, but my top three shouldn't come from a surprise. And I'll start off with Return of the Jedi as my number three.
My number three is Empire Strikes Back.
How high is Return of the Jedi on your list?
It is much higher.
Empire is much higher on mine. So why don't we save this one? We're pretty much rotated. So let's go to number two. At number two, I have A New Hope.
At number two, I have The Last Jedi.
So the reason I have A New Hope, to me, it's the most pure action-adventure good guy, becomes hero, becomes legend, fairy tale ever. To me, it is the quintessential fairy tale story. It is my fairy tale story that I watched.
I see that in Return of the Jedi more than I did A New Hope.
See, to me, A New Hope had everything. It had the farm boy who always knew he was meant to leave the home, find himself on this adventure that just kept going. And it's the same reason why what's my favorite video game series that isn't Resident Evil is Zelda, is A Link to the Past. That's my favorite game. The entire series of Zelda, because it's this hero of time that keeps finding his situation and the adventure keeps growing. And that's what A New Hope is. A New Hope, to me, also the introduction of Chewie, Han Solo, Princess Leia, Darth Vader, C-3PO, R2-D2, the Millennium Falcon, the Emperor. To me, it is purity. It is purity in the word of what it's supposed to be.
See, I think New Hope doesn't crack my top five. For everything you said, I think they do a better job and they do it more justice in the sequels. Wherein A New Hope is a nice setup, but I think what we get in the next two is so good that it makes me look at part one and say, this dragged a bit. You really didn't have, and it's open. Like, they didn't have a direction. They didn't have the two sequels planned out. That's why we get a couple little mystery lines and story twists where you're like, oh, so they swerved that a little bit. So that's why the other two make my top three, but New Hope doesn't. Love New Hope, though. It's the original. You're never going to, everyone loves Super Mario Bros. Mario 64 is the better version of it, though. So, Last Jedi. I think Last Jedi is one of the best Star Wars films ever. I think it's the first one to finally take a chance. I think it makes the most storyline sense. Luke was a shut-in for so long. He's going to be an asshole. He's going to be a former shell of himself. We get Rey on her journey to be like, no, screw this. Like, I don't want to be this or this. I'm going to do me. Like, I'm going to take a side mission. We get the relationship with Kylo. We get some backstory. We get these really cool scenes with Finn, like, trying to hijack these codes and go over it. And yes, Cancel Bite wasn't great. I don't think it was terrible. I like Maz. I like Chewie. I love Porgs. I just think I love seeing Luke Skywalker, our hero, have an actual hero's journey like we talk about of, yeah, he lost so much. I don't want to see him happy in this. It took Rey waking that up in him. It took seeing this young Jedi that reminded him of him and his friends. And Leia, of all things, honestly, I think she reminds us of Leia more than Luke, for him to be like, oh, maybe I'm doing this wrong. Like, why am I shutting myself in? And then the Yoda stuff. Like, I love The Last Jedi. I think it is a masterpiece of Rian Johnson. I think it is underappreciated. I think in years to come, like you said, it's going to slowly, slowly make its way up to one of those, man, that was good. Like, that was good. Like, I did enjoy some of those things, and now that I've sat on it, that was very smart. It's the smartest Star Wars we've ever gotten, I think, and that's why I enjoy it.
I agree, and you know I don't have – The Last Jedi was number seven for me, so it almost got to that honorable mention list. It basically was on that tier.
Yeah.
The big thing for me is it just doesn't feel like a puzzle piece into this puzzle because Disney abandoned it so hard, but I agree with you for all the reasons. I love the originality of it. So why don't we get into it? Our number ones. My number one is your number three. My number three is your number one.
Yeah.
And my number one would be Empire Strikes Back. Yours is
Return of the Jedi.
So obviously top three film for me. It's a top three film for you. It's
they're
obviously
both perfect. They're both perfect A pluses films at this point. All three are A pluses to me.
So the reason why Empire Strikes Back to me is I love the analogy you used. To me, it's like A Link to the Past to Ocarina of Time. It's this big upgrade of just the grand scale Boba Fett, what you see with the Sky City and meeting Lando and just the entire journey and the kind of the scariness of watching Luke go into the caves and obviously freaking Yoda's appearance. We get Yoda. And the everybody wants a Yoda backpack.
We get a winter planet.
I mean, the way it starts with Hoth. I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I'll say this. When I was younger, Empire never stuck with me because it was darker and more mature. And we remember, like, when we were young, we did this list 6 years ago, Empire doesn't crack top five. As an adult, and I've watched it more, I love Empire Strikes Back. It is fantastic. Fantastic. That's why it makes top three.
Talk about the most quoted line in not just pop culture, just ever in the Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, I am your father.
I love you, I know. Like, I love you, that movie's so quotable. Land, like, we just get so much good. And to me, why Return of the Jedi just beats it a little bit, and Last Jedi, because it was the original, and I love Last Jedi.
Yeah, let's gush over Return of the Jedi for a little bit.
Like, Return of the Jedi to me is everything you said about New Hope. Return of the Jedi does. We get the full Luke hero's journey that he's been through it. He's lost so much. He's confident in the man he is. We get the best one, to me, the greatest opening to a Star Wars film of them getting out of Jabba's lair.
Yeah.
We get Han back. We were so worried we get him back. Leia saves him. Luke's there. Lando's there. Chewie's in the pit. We get a big monster. We literally get a 30-minute intro, and then you're like, oh my God, like the movie's basically just getting started. Thanks for saving me, kid. And we get the death of Yoda. We get the big reveal. We get redemption for Darth Vader. We get Ewoks, guys. We get some of the greatest characters. It's just beautiful. I love the ending. It's perfect. It is a perfect movie of a hero, his friends, the journey, defeat the bad guys, celebration. Woo!
It is the perfect third movie. It is arguably the best third movie in a trilogy it ever. Is. Now, to me, what the reason I can't even knock it is what it does differently than Empire is how Empire, I believe, goes more in a espionage
drama
political movie. Mm-hmm. And you have Return of the Jedi that goes much more of an action adventure pirate swashbuckler.
It's a pirate film almost.
So, which is great. This is why you always have the argument of which is better. Mm-hmm. I think pure cinema wise, Empire probably holds up better long term as a film. Because it goes by the beats and it kind of has that samurai feel to it as well.
I wouldn't argue it because, I mean, we're literally talking about the two most. If you took a poll of what are the two most number one movies, it would be these two movies.
In the list of Star Wars films.
Yeah, like it would literally be these two films. I'll say this about Star Wars now that we've mentioned it. I truly, and I'll say it, I don't think any Star Wars movies had a bad ending. I think every single Star Wars film ending was good. Even Attack of the Clones had that awesome, the most Jedi we've seen at one time fighting.
In the pit, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Clones. And the depth in the first one, and the depth of this. And even Rogue One had one of the best endings. And I don't even like the film in general, but I like the ending, and I like parts of it. I can't name a Star Wars ending. I was like, oh, I don't like that ending. No, I thought every ending fit the film it was in and delivered setting up the next film. Whether you don't like the film, that's on you, but ending getting you to the next book, I thought it's all been hits.
Maybe the only one I didn't like is Rise of Skywalkers.
Oh, with Rey Solo? Rey,
spoiler.
It's been a year.
Yeah, as Rey
Skywalker. Loved it. It got me right in the feels.
No, I thought it was dumb.
I liked it.
Oh, I thought
if it wasn't going to be Rey Solo because, you know, Ben's dead, then I would have gone that.
But like the fact that they, you know, I guess we could spill, but it's a Star Wars list right here. The fact that they... This goes to show about them kind of just changing tracks in the middle of these production. They should have leaned on it. The fact that they try to double swerve us throughout this entire approach, be like, no, we knew
she wasn't a Skywalker. Yes. She's a Palpatine, but I'm still going to claim Skywalker.
It would have been better if she was a Skywalker. And I guess it's because of Last Jedi that they killed Plagueis. Yeah. No, it's not Plagueis. Plagueis is who everybody thought was eventually going to come back. But Snoke. They killed Snoke.
Emperor Snoke. Who end up being Palpatine the whole time. Yeah, we find out.
Yeah, but like to me, it's like they should have just kept it Snoke and had Rey been a Skywalker anyway and worked our way to it, you know? Like, but I guess that would have made Ben and her cousins, and they wanted to make a love story. So,
which to be fair,
Star Wars.
People stand that love, man. Yeah, people, the internet does love them some Kylo Rey, man.
But there's internet that makes the Winchester brothers a couple, so the internet's weird.
Yeah, but this is one of those.
Shout out to the internet.
Like, that's a different type of it. I do, because I'm one of them, I do like the relationship with Kylo.
But that's the...
But I like it better in Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really natural, and I'm like, ooh, like, this is kind of sexy.
But that's also Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver's the chemistry as actors.
You know the problem with Daisy Ridley and all the actors? Their chemistry's too good.
They all have
too. It's so good. You're like, well, yeah, like, I'll give them that. You're like, man, like, I want all of you to be best friends and live together and just have adventures.
You know what upsets me about this entire series, though? And
nothing
just hit
perfect.
Me right now. The new trilogy specifically.
No, it's perfect, yeah.
We did not get enough Oscar Isaac, Adam Driver interaction.
No.
We got a little.
Did we get a lot of Darth Vader and Han Solo interaction?
Not really. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'd rather use that time, reason I liked the last movie is because we did get a lot of Oscar Isaac and Finn.
Sure.
And John Boyega. Like, I love that relationship when they go to the planet to get C-3PO going.
The romance they had
was my biggest problem with third movie is the trailers for it gave away way too much.
Yeah, and
that was my biggest issue. Is I think if you would have shown less, like you do with Force Awakens, then people would have reacted better instead of going into it with these expectations.
And that was just, I think, Disney and Lucas being worried about The Last Jedi. But, and you know what? I wonder how had production of Rise of Skywalker started after Mandalorian and when the vibes had changed a little bit, what differences we would have seen in general.
Well, it's hard because the Mandalorian, they go into it saying, we want to make a Western that also has a Star Wars feel compared to these movies where they got to make a Star Wars film that has a little Rian Johnson feel, that has a JJ. I like JJ. I don't drink the Kool-Aid necessarily. No, I think JJ's very, I would say 50-50.
And he's got great ideas.
There's some great stuff he does, and there's some stuff that just doesn't work. And, you know, I personally think Star Wars did work. I don't think it's Star Trek.
Will you accept JJ if it meant getting Man of Steel 2 with Henry Cavill?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I think he would do that good because he has enough to play off.
And he wants to do it.
Yeah. Like, that's why I thought Force Awakens was good, because he was just playing off of what he already had. I think that's Man of Steel. His original idea, sometimes I'm like, okay, you tried. I appreciate you. You know what? The man takes swings, and I'll give him that, and he knows when to cool it off and just take an easy one.
Very true. Good, brother. This is a lot of fun to do our Star Wars list. You want to do a quick recap before we sign off?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. At number 11, we have Attack of the Clones.
Yep.
At number 10, I have Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace.
At number 9, I have Solo.
I have Rogue One.
At number 8, Rise of Skywalker.
Revenge of the Sith.
At number 7, The Last Jedi.
Rise of Skywalker.
At number 6, Revenge of the Sith.
New Hope.
At number 5, The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
At number 4, I have Rogue One.
I have the much better Solo.
At number 3, are switched up. So our number 2,
I have Last Jedi.
And I have A New Hope. My number 1 is Empire Strikes Back.
Mine is Return of the Jedi.
Very
making
good.
Our number 3s the opposite of each other.
So very fun, good brother.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. Like I said, I love Star Wars. And we talked about in the Good Brothers, like, you pick your 5 favorite, you know, just franchises or things you love the most. And, you know, honestly, like, to this day, maybe it's because the VHS and we grew up with it and the costumes and the toys, Star Wars maintains my number 1. Like, I don't know what it is. Above superheroes, above everything else, I love Star Wars. I love space, cowboy, pirates. I don't know, man. It makes me feel like a kid again. Every time I hear that opening crawl in the theaters, I get a tear in my eye. Even during Rogue One, even during Solo, even during the bad ones. If it's on TV, I have to watch it. Even Phantom Menace. Like, I just, Star Wars to me is my most purest form of entertainment. And childlike wonder is Star Wars.
I agree. I mean, literally in the studio, we have a Darth Vader helmet. We have a replica of the original
poster. We poster, have another poster, long-wise, having mostly every character from all 9 films.
A lot of Star Wars stuff. A
lot of Star Wars representation in the studio.
One of these days, we'll have people be able to see it. But I had a lot of fun with this. We'll come up with a name. Maybe we'll just keep it the Quarantine Files and corporate could go suck a lemon. But until then, good brother, the next list we make. Any final thoughts on the Star Wars list? Chances are this won't be the last time we talk about Star Wars.
No, but it's nice. I mean, Mandalorian's coming back. I'm excited about that. I got my baby Yoda figure, the kid. That's awesome.
But we do know that this list is going to stay very timely because we're not going to get a movie for a little while.
No, the next one we'll get will probably be the Taika Waititi one.
So at least we know for a little while where we stand, good brother. With that in mind, I can't wait to see you on the next list here on the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers on Mercado Airwaves. For the Good Brother himself, Alex Mercado.
May the Force be with you.
I'm the Good Brother, Mike Mercado. We will see you in a galaxy far, far away. Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Manchas on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes, by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it, wherever you get your favorite podcast, to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.